Hi everyone, welcome to part number 23 of the Our Covenant God study. Firstly, last week's homework. Homework question number 1, what is the significance of Eve's name change? The entire human race plus the rest of creation was under a death sentence because of Adam and Eve's sin. But in that death sentence was a promise that one day God would save them through a child who would come from the woman. She was originally called Isha, which means woman or wife. And after they sinned, Adam changed her name to Eve, which means origin of life or life giver. Her name was changed because their hope was in her. Life would come from her. They were under death now, but life would come through her. Therefore, she was the life giver. Homework question number 2. Why did God stop them from eating from the tree of life? If they had eaten of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they would have been trapped in a state of sin, sickness, and decay. They needed to die so that they could be reborn, as it were, as brand new creatures in a sinless world. The entire creation needed to be made new, because Adam's sin reversed creation. Homework question number 3. We see that the flood followed the pattern of creation in Genesis 1. Why do you think that God works in patterns? For myself, I see it almost as a fingerprint. You can identify a person by the prints they leave behind. I think that God works in patterns to leave clues for us to be able to identify his handiwork, and also to get to know him more intimately. The Bible tells us that the children of Israel knew the acts of God, but Moses knew his ways. That's in Psalm 103 verse 7. Take for example Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison was a great inventor. We all know his acts, that is his inventions. But none of us know his ways. Like, what made him happy? What were his motivations behind his acts? What made him tick? Proverbs 25 verse 2 says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter." And this is what God does. He wants us to seek him. Seek means to hunt and research. Research. To find God, we have to research. That is, search over and over again. We have to research him. It is like a game of hide and go seek, where the prize is for us to know him intimately. Homework question number 4. Why is Jesus not the second Adam? Why is he called the last Adam? The first man of this creation is called Adam. That is, he is the first Adam. In a way, Noah is a second Adam because God started all over again with him. Abraham can also be considered another Adam because only the children of Abraham, that is, those who have the same covenant faith in God as Abraham did, see Galatians 3 verse 7, can enter into the new covenant as children of God. Jesus is the last Adam because there will be no more do-overs after him. Whoever is in Christ is a child of God, and they make up the human population of the new creation throughout eternity. Therefore, he is the last Adam. Now for today's lesson. Today's lesson is really split into two very different sections. First of all, I want to discuss the fact that Noah's flood is a picture of baptism. 1 Peter 3 verse 20b to 22 says, "When once the divine long-suffering, that's God, waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water." Who's that? That's Noah and his family. "There is also now an antitype which now saves us, baptism." So he's saying it's a type. Remember, we've spoken about types and shadows. And then he goes on to say, "Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him." One of the things that Peter is speaking about here, and that is what we are going to focus on, is that he's speaking of the flood as being a picture of baptism. He said that Noah and his family were saved through water. And truly, the ark is certainly one of the best pictures of what baptism is all about. The word baptism is a very interesting word. It was a very common word in Jesus' day. It was used in the trade of those who dyed fabrics, as well as others. Say, for example, you had a piece of fabric that you wanted to make red. So you would get a bowl of red dye and baptize that cloth in the red dye. You would completely immerse the cloth into the red dye and then pull it up. The end result would be that the cloth would now be red. That is what baptism is all about. The cloth went down into the red dye and came back out looking like the red dye. Baptism is a complete immersion that does not leave you looking the same afterwards as you did before, because you have now absorbed the substance that you were baptized into. In the same way as the red cloth, when you are baptized into Jesus, you are fully immersed into him, and you now look like Jesus. When you are baptized into the body of Christ, you are fully immersed into the body, and now you look like the body of Christ. That red piece of cloth now has the red dye in it. When you are baptized into Jesus, you now have Jesus inside you. That red cloth cannot be separated from the red dye because it's inside its fibers. In the same way, you cannot be separated from Jesus because he is inside you and you are inside him. When you've been baptized into the body of Christ, you cannot be separated from it. You are part of the body, no longer a separate entity. And this is what baptism is all about. This is why God always operated with people in terms of covenant. Because in covenant, the two become one. Genesis 2 verse 24. Remember, the two became one flesh. Noah's ark was a type or shadow of Christ. Noah and his family entering into the ark is a picture of us being baptized or immersed into Christ. Now, some people believe that if you're not baptized in water, you are doomed eternally. We know this is wrong because it's by being in Jesus that we are saved, not in water. After all, the thief on the cross accepted Christ, and so Jesus said that he would enter into paradise with him that same day. The thief could not jump off his cross and quickly go and get baptized into water. Close your eyes for a minute and picture the ark. See Noah and his family with the animals inside and nothing but water outside. Now ask yourself. Number one, were Noah and his family baptized or immersed into the ark or into the flood waters? Well, they were immersed or baptized into the ark. The waters never touched them. Question number two to ask yourself is, what happened to the rest of humanity? Were they baptized or immersed into the ark or into the flood waters? Well, they were immersed into the waters. Can you see that the water of the flood saved no one? In fact, it's quite the opposite. The waters of the flood killed the people. It was the ark, not the water, which saved the people as they went through the flood.